great song, huh? To start on this Wednesday, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, sing it to the heavens, rise up in righteousness. Good morning. How you doing? It is Wednesday. We are halfway through the week. It is May 15th, year of our Lord, 2024, and you are locked right here at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on rumble.com/LFATV. This is Rise Up, and I am your host, Jeremy Harrell. Now, for those that are new to this show and this program, maybe this network, let me describe to you what this show is, okay? This show is my personal journey with Jesus, put out in the open, put out to the public, for everybody to see, everybody to join in, everybody to scrutinize, and everybody to fellowship with, if it is your cup of tea. Now, I don't drink tea. I drink coffee. Rise Up specifically, but I thank you. Kelmore says, Jeremy, I thank the Lord I found you 4 or 5 years ago. I want to tell you a little story real quick. Yesterday I got a, actually, just let me read it to you. Be better if I read it to you. Because it brought tears to my eyes, especially after yesterday. Yesterday was a very difficult day for me, and I just want to read this. It's such an amazing, amazing testimony here, and it's from, well, you'll know as we get through. Check this out. Good morning, Jeremy. I just wanted to let you know that I grew up Catholic, but started watching LFA years ago during the backyard days. And I decided from you that I wanted to be a Christian. So I started going to the community church here that I liked and fell in love with even more. So after all this, I decided to get baptized in October. And it's all because of you, Jeremy. Things happen for a reason. I'd say all glory to God. It's all because of the Holy Spirit, but I thank you so very much. I truly believe that, and I am such a happier person now, but it's all because of you, and I just don't think you realize how much of an impact you have on people's lives. I truly appreciate you and Eli, and all that you guys do every single day. You've truly changed my life for the better. Unbelievable. Where am I at here? Truly changed my life for the better. I'm a stay-at-home mom, and I have LFA on all day, almost every day, just so I don't feel so lonely at home when my kids are at school and my husband is at work. So what I'm trying to say is thank you so much for all that you do, and do not change. Well, unless it's more like Jesus, right? I absolutely love LFA. I love the way it is. I love that you're raw and that you tell the truth no matter what. And that's what people want. And it's what true patriots want. We don't need it to be sugar-coated. I'm also a monthly donor, and I'm happy to donate. So God bless you and Eli. Isn't that amazing? Like, and here's the funny thing about that. I feel that's me writing the letter, said Kithead. That's amazing. Here's the funny thing about that is, like, that, again, I never wanted to do a five-day-a-week Rise Up show. That was God saying, this needs to be done. You're in a position to do this for these specific people. Do this, and I just happened to obey. Thank God I happened to obey, because now there are just so many emails and letters. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you need anybody, any prayers, if you need any financial help, because you can't email that one email anymore, please send us a letter. Let us know. Send us your testimony. We love reading them. We don't read them all on air unless we're asked to. Sometimes we don't get to it. But we do read them, my wife and I both. So we like to hear about your guys, your stories and your testimonies. And that right there was just absolutely wonderful. Now, today's show is titled The Devil's Door. The Devil's Doors, excuse me. The devil has a lot of doors, ladies and gentlemen. Think of it like this. Remember the movie, we talked about it last week, but it's kind of bringing back, you know, it's kind of like it's drawing comparisons. Remember last week we were talking about the movie The Matrix? Well, there's this guy in the movie The Matrix called the Keymaker. And he's basically makes keys to all these back doors that are outside of the Matrix that the Matrix can't see. But it's just rows and rows and rows and rows of doors. Well, guess what? The devil has those too. The devil has rows of doors into your life, into your homes, that he can use to get in. Now, if you remember when we were going through, my family and I, all of this trouble lately with our teenagers, we definitely came to the conclusion that the devil got into our home somehow. How did he get in? Twanity says, "Rise Up brought my husband and I closer to the Lord and each other. Thank you from the bottom of my heart with a $25 donation." I'll tell you what, the fact that you guys are like lock and step with God now, greatest thing ever. Greatest thing ever. So I kept asking myself, how did the devil get in? Well, today we're going to talk about how. And we're going to talk about how your house, your home, your sanctuary suffers home invasions from the devil and his minions all the time. Water Cop says, Rumble is getting to be a pain. Keep getting kicked out of the chat. Try using the app if you're not using the app. If you're using the app, try using the browser. There are many different ways you can watch. Make sure you utilize those and see which one works, okay? Let me read for you the description of today, and then we'll go to prayer and we'll get into it. And by the way, I might have labeled the numbers wrong, but anyway, I think it's episode number 347. The devil uses three doors, three very specific doors, to enter your home and to take your peace, to take your peace of mind, to take your joy, to take your confidence in the Lord and in God's word. Today we will discuss these three doors that are at risk in your home right now. So please do me the ever so humble favor. Make sure you're signed in. Make sure you're still following LFA TV. And make sure that you share to your friends who need the word of God, which would be everybody you know, right? Amen? Godchick says the app has been a lot better lately. Good. Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get to some devotionals, and we'll get to my main topic of today's show. Okay? All right. Lord and Heavenly Father, so many great people are gathered here in your name today to give you worship, to give you thanksgiving, to receive the truth that came from the lips of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave us the Holy Spirit in his absence to be able to take that truth with the guide of the Holy Spirit and help plant seeds throughout the world. So many people are here to do that today, Lord. We love you with all our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our souls. You give to us when we don't deserve. You guide us when we don't deserve. You bless us when we don't deserve. And today we want to use the power of the armor of God to find where and which doors the devil is using to get into our homes so we can apply that to those areas and keep our sanctuaries safe from the evil one. Lord, we pray that everybody listening and watching is blessed and is touched by your word today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Miranda says it's a battle every day. You're right. It is. Actually, let me help you. It's a battle every second. It's a battle every second. Water Cop says kicked off again. Water Cop, if you're using your phone or your computer, maybe you want to restart. Sounds like it's a local problem, not a Rumble problem. So make sure you try out some local stuff first, okay? Lone Star says, put on the armor of God. Oh, show me, Lord. In one of my songs, I say, Ephesians 6:11 got me focused on the cross. If it wasn't for the sacrifice, we would all be lost. So I'm a ride with King Jesus because he chose to pay the cost. Of course, that's in the song, The Armor of God. I want you guys to open up your Bibles to Ephesians, but we're not going to go to Ephesians 6. We're going to go to Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Again, that's Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Please go there now. I'll go there with you. And we're going to read from the ESV first, which says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Three doors the devil uses to enter your home and bring strife, struggle, depression, anxiety, despair, loneliness, hopelessness into your homes. And it happens more than you know. Your home is your sanctuary. Can I get an amen on that one? Your home is your sanctuary, a place of peace, a place of love, a place of kindness and forgiveness. But did you know that there are three doors in which the devil can sneak into your home, disrupting harmony and faith? Let's reveal those hidden entrances today and learn how to keep them firmly shut, sealed, according to the wisdom of the Bible. Are you ready? Let's have a drink of our coffee and then we'll get to it. Good morning, Clee Sully. Good morning, River Rat. Good morning, Mad Tess. Good morning, Victoria. Or Victory, good morning, Patty, Rosebud, Michelle, Bad Moon, Aussie Mom, Al Burkowski, Kristen Donovan, Cat352, God Chick, good morning. I love every single one of you so very much, especially Bad Moon. Not gay, just love. Love you, Shane. You're a good man. All right. Door number one, the door of unforgiveness. Hold on. Ashley said, today is my husband and my husband and I's 15-year anniversary. Been together 15 years today. Any guy that can stay with a woman 15 years, God bless. I'm just kidding. Am I, though? I should say any woman that can stay with a man for 15 years. How about this? Anybody that can stay together under the word of God for 15 years is a blessed couple. How about that? Beautiful. God bless you. And your marriage. Kovefi, that's right. Kovefe. Amen. All right. The door of unforgiveness. This is a big one, guys. And this is why I put this one first. The door of unforgiveness. The door of unforgiveness, holding on to grudges and refusing to forgive your husband, your child, whomever in your life. It's like leaving your front door wide open. So this is your front door. This is your spiritual front door that resides right next to the front door of your physical home. And the unforgiveness door is the front door that is wide open, not shut, not locked, not sealed, not secure. So if you cannot forgive your husband for what he did, what he didn't do, what he said, or what he didn't say because he's not a mind reader, you're leaving your door wide open for the devil to get in. Your front door at that. Now, I want you to really and honestly envision going to bed and leaving your front door wide open and knowing the front door is wide open while you lay down and go to sleep. Can you imagine the fear that you would feel? The anxiety that you would feel? Can you imagine how scared you would be all night? You'd be waking up in the middle of the night in cold sweats if you actually left your front door open. But ladies and gentlemen, if you refuse to forgive somebody in your life, then I'm telling you right now, the door of unforgiveness is the front door to your home. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 tells us that. It warns us not to let the sun go down on our anger and do not give the devil even one foothold. Forgiveness is not just a key to peace and joy in your home. It's a barricade against devilish discord. That's what it is. A barricade. Folks, I would say, if you asked me, Jeremy, what is more secure for us to be behind? A shut, locked, and sealed door, or a barricade? I would say a barricade. So not only by forgiving everybody in your life and in your home, not only are you shutting, locking, and sealing that door, but you've also barricaded that door. So even if somebody finds a way in, they still can't get in. So not only are you going to bed knowing that your house is locked up tight, which we do every day. My job, being the father, is before we go to bed at night, I go around and I make sure all the windows are locked. I make sure the front door is locked. I make sure that the mudroom door is locked. I make sure that the back door is locked. I make sure that our cars are locked. And I go to bed very comfortable. I feel safe. But imagine if I barricaded all those doors and windows too. How much more safe would I feel? Because like I said, I still wake up in the middle of the night thinking that the FBI is there to get us. And that's a shame in America. So that's door number one. How many of you have an open front door of unforgiveness? And how many of you have closed that front door of unforgiveness? Patty1186 just donated $100 of her very, very precious hard-earned money to keep things being paid for here on LFA TV. And for that, we are so blessed and we thank you so very much. God bless you for that. I appreciate it more than you'll ever know. Lifelike says, dang it, Jeremy, I'm struggling with forgiving my daughter for walking away from our family and taking our grandkids away. I'm really struggling. I'm so hurt and angry. I know. Time to not be so hurt and angry. It's time to show love so you can receive love back. Might not be on your time. It'll be on their time and God's time. But you can only do what you can do. And you definitely don't want to leave that front door wide open anymore. It's time to be secure. Love your daughter. You birthed her. You brought her into this world. You raised her. She's made a bad decision. So have you in your life. This one just happens to be affecting you and hurting you. The moment you forgive, the moment that she can receive that forgiveness, and then maybe things will turn around. That's just my 2 cents. Take it or leave it. Door number two. For this, we're going to have to go to 2 Timothy 1:7. So everybody, turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy 1:7. And once you get there, we'll go through this. But this door that we're going to talk about right now is the door of fear and doubt. These doors all exist to your home. Don't think that they don't. Don't think that I'm just giving you an analogy here because it makes sense, because it's comparable. No, 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 no. Get it? Parable? These are real doors. These are real doors in the spiritual realm that you can't see with your eyes, but you can see with your soul. And I am trying myself to learn how to seal these doors shut. And that's why I'm going through this today. Mary says, I have to go back and watch. You just said something I need to know more about, Jeremy. Okay, perfect. Perfect. Not just 2 cents. Well, thank you, Annette. Guys, if you're just joining in, definitely go back and watch the beginning of the show if you can. Also, make sure that you're signed in. Make sure you're still following the page and you weren't automatically unfollowed. And help us out by sharing if you could, okay? All right. The door of fear and doubt. We just went through the door of forgiveness. Now we're going to talk about the door of fear and doubt. When we allow fear and when we allow doubt to dwell in our hearts, we're essentially cracking open a window for the devil to whisper lies and shake our faith. So, the door of unforgiveness is a front door to your home. Oh, look, ha ha, these people don't do the number one thing that God has always done, forgive. So, I'm going to walk right in. Oh, look at this house. I'll walk right in. They clearly are not godlike. They clearly are not acting in the image of God. So I'm taking this as my invitation to just walk right in. However, the door of fear and doubt is not a wide open door. No, no, no. The door of fear and doubt is like a small door cracked or a small window that you open and the devil says, you're horrible. You're not good enough. Nobody loves you. You'll fail at everything you try to do today. Nobody forgives you. You shouldn't forgive anybody because they don't love you. They hate you. You're a loser. You're fat. You're ugly. You hear me? And they repeat it over and over and over again. So they're not walking in the door. I'm here. No, 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 no. You're a loser. Nobody loves you. You're going to fail at everything you do today. That's what that is. So let's go to 2 Timothy 1:7, which says this. For God gave us a spirit, not to fear, but of power and love and self-control. Woo! That's a good one, huh? Self-control, that's a hard one. Again, ladies and gentlemen, 2 Timothy 1:7 reminds us, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of one for power, love, and self-control, and of sound mind. Faith and trust, the two things that you must show in Jesus Christ, seals that door shut, just like the door to Noah's Ark. And I mean God seals it shut. Now, all this is good, Jeremy. All this is good. You're saying words. We're hearing words. But what does it mean? What does it mean when you say faith and trust in God's promises? If you have true faith, and you have true trust in what God promises you for living by his commandments, then you don't have fear by default. You want to love by default. And when you have complete faith that Jesus of Nazareth is also the Christ Jesus, who's also the Son of Man while being the Son of God, who was born of immaculate conception, born into the world as a babe, helpless, but not hopeless, who grew to be a man and for 3 years traveled sharing the gospel and his ministries, who died for your sins and rose again on the third day, who's preparing a place for you in heaven, and who guides you through life with his Holy Spirit today. If that's what you truly and honestly believe and have faith in, then God promises to shut and seal that door of fear and doubt, just like that door to the ark that Noah and his family had faith and trust that the Lord would keep them safe in, and the same thing happens. History repeats itself. Right? So that's door number two. Are we having fun yet today, folks? I know I'm having a good time. What a beautiful, beautiful setting behind me too, huh? I mean, it looks like I'm there. If people didn't know that this was all done by Graphic Work, people would go, wow, Jeremy, you must be making a killing at this job. You're in a new place every day. Nope. But I feel it. I feel it. You know what I mean? And now we're going to get to door number three. So if you're just joining in, we're talking about the devil's doors. We're talking about the doors that the devil uses, the spiritual real doors, just like the door to your home. These are real spiritual doors that the devil uses to get into your home. And we're talking, we're identifying them, number one. We're exposing them, but we're also shutting and sealing them as we go. And we went through the door of unforgiveness, and we went through the door of fear and doubt. And now I'd like you to open up your Bibles to 1 Peter 5:8. Let's all go there together. 1 Peter 5:8. I'm craving the beach more now. Let's make a deal, door number three. I love the setting. Thank you very much. Who let you in my backyard, Jeremy? If you got a backyard like this, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house. Eli Lifelike just donated $20. God bless you and your family, Jeremy. And this morning's Rise Up Godcast. This journey is improving my life each day. Well, first of all, thank you very much. It's not easy to donate today. God bless you. But I am so happy that we're on this journey all together. I really am. And I'm very happy that you guys have accepted my invitation to walk on this journey with me. Whether I'm right or wrong on some days, you guys are with me. And I love it. It is peaceful. It is. All right, 1 Peter 5:8 is we have 1,450 people. Make sure we get those likes up, and let's make sure we get those views up as well, okay? All right. Door number three, the door of disobedience and sin. The door of disobedience and sin. Deliberate disobedience and living in your sin. Stop right there, full stop. Pause, as they like to say nowadays. Pause, as Mike Crispy would say it. Pause. Stop right there. Deliberate disobedience and living in sin. What is that? What is deliberate disobedience and living in sin? Aren't we all alive in sin? Yeah, we are. But are we all deliberately disobeying and living in sin? It's like saying, I am alive, not just living. Or I'm living my life, not just alive. There is a difference, right? Just like this. Deliberate disobedience and living in sin means you're not even trying. Means you know you should be. You say to yourself, God, I know you're real. But man, do I love having sex with people that I don't know. God, I know you're real. I know you're there. I know Jesus existed. But this is 2024. Things are different now. I'm just going to go out and get absolutely tore up from the floor up today. I'm going to go get wasted and we're going to party. Constantly trying to lie to your coworkers or your boss. Padding your hours. Doing it over and over again. Thinking, I'm not going to get caught. By the way, they got tons of money. It's not really stealing anyway. The way I feel, they owe it to me. Things like that. That's deliberate disobedience. And deliberately living in sin. River Rat just donated $20. Saying, I love Rise Up. I know, because you've been here now, what, about 2 months? I love you, and I'm so glad and grateful that you stayed here as after becoming a newbie. I loved it. Deliberate disobedience and living in sin is akin to rolling out the welcome mat for negative influences. Okay? So here we have another door. You had the door to open to your house that was the front door. You had the smaller door that, you're worthless, where the devil's constantly like saying things into the home that you can hear to bring you down. And then there's this door where you literally don't have to be home invaded. You are outside with the red carpet for the red devil, rolling it out for him and saying, you don't need to go in the front door like everybody else. That's for your demons. I heard you speaking through the side door about how I was worthless, terrible, not good enough, never going to make it, nobody likes me, hopeless, hapless. But I want you to come through this door. This is a VIP door. This is a very important person entrance. This is a secret entrance. Nobody knows about this. I have this one reserved just for you, Lucy. There's the red carpet. You don't need to be wanded. You don't need to be checked. You don't need to be searched. I don't even need to see your ID. Come on in, sir. Here's the keys to the castle. You watch out for my house here. I'm going to go out and get tore up from the floor up, have sex with three different women, drive drunk, and then come home. Watch my kids for me. Watch my house for me. When you deliberately go out there and live in sin, this is what you're doing. You are strolling right in. You are rolling up to the side door. The VIP entrance, the devil gets out. I'm not going through the front door like everybody else. I'm invited. This is my home now. So now you go from being home invaded by the devil and his minions and his demons to being roommates. But it's even worse than that because he's not just a roommate, Eli. He's a squatter. We all know those. So he's not just going to come in now and say, hey, roommate, buddy, what's happening? He's going to do that for a while. It's going to be fun, right? You're going to be out there doing your thing. But then you're going to say, you know what? Oh, I'm ready for you to leave. I got to get some sleep. Devil says, you think I'm going somewhere? You think you could just get rid of me like that? Then he becomes a stage 5 clinger. Eli goes, huh? And he becomes a stage 5 clinger. Nah, I ain't leaving. I'm staying right here. It's me and you. We're going down together. And if I can't have you, nobody can. Honeybees for me just donated $50 and says, may God bless you and protect you. I'm also thankful for your honest walk and sharing the testimony in your life daily. It's gotten me through some tough times. I love you all and God bless you. I am so happy that this show has gotten you through tough times. I really am. And I'm very grateful for the donation in a very rough time to be able to even give $5 to somebody. You're a very special person. I thank you so much. Jeremy, when you're making the right choices, he prepared for the onslaught of Satan's attacks. Oh, yeah. Eli, another... these people are just amazing. Another $50, dude. From Cat352 says, I thank the Lord for you and the Rise Up family every day. Please take Eli to lunch today. Eli, how does it feel when you have so many people who love you on the show, and then you get somebody that says that they don't like you on the show? Does it hurt? Does it hurt, though? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I've been living with it for years. People that I thought we were great, you know, that I was great with, just saying mean things behind my back or whatever. And it does hurt. It does. But you got to keep on keeping on. So we'll Bad Moon says, drag Eli to lunch. I got him today. He deserves it. He deserves it. Thank you so much for that donation. All right. 1 Peter 5:8. Let's read it together. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Wow. So those three doors we focused on today. Time for the headphones. So after talking about those three doors, I want you guys to identify if those three doors exist in your home. And if they do, it's time to seal them. It's time to shut them. It's time to be done with them. And now, since I have not had him on in quite some time, ladies and gentlemen, let's go watch a great man, I believe is a great man, Cliff Netchell, debating an atheist on God's existence. It's always nice to play a video here on LFA. Remember, if you're just tuning in, you definitely want to go make sure that you rewatch this show, as I believe it might be one of the most important shows that we've ever done. And I'll let the audience either concur or disagree with that. But ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Netchell on campus debating an atheist.
I'm an atheist. Yep, like I have never had faith in a higher power during my life.
Right.
I do not have faith in the Bible as a source. What proof do you have outside of that?
Good. The first piece of evidence, not proof, but the first piece of evidence that points me to God is order and design do not come out of chaos by chance.
Right.
Order and design point to some type of intelligent mind.
Biology student myself.
Yes.
I'm a firm believer in kind of principles of evolution.
Good.
That kind of thing.
Let me just hop quickly on though. Yeah. Where is the creative mechanism in evolution? Because I believe in evolution as a process, but where is the creative mechanism in evolution?
I don't think I fully understand the question, but
well,
how do you get something from nothing in evolution?
There you go. The thing is that it didn't come from nothing. I forgot what the exact title of the experiment, but there is this idea that the primordial soup, right?
Yeah.
The oceans of a primordial Earth.
Sir, I think we can bring this one to a conclusion fairly quickly. I am convinced that before the Big Bang, there was nothing.
Right.
Okay, and that's what Einstein acknowledged. And that's why Einstein tried to beat the Big Bang mathematically.
I see.
And he introduced a fudge factor to try and prove that the Big Bang was not true. Because Einstein understood, if the Big Bang is true, my pantheism, which means everything is God, is wrong. There's a creator. Because everything that has a beginning has a cause. The universe has a beginning, therefore the universe has a cause, and it's far more reasonable to believe in the beginning an intelligent mind caused it than to believe nothing caused it.
Right.
And that's philosophically unacceptable. Bang! What caused that? Nothing. That is stupidity. Rank stupidity. Everything that has a beginning has a cause. The universe has a beginning, therefore the universe has a cause. What is the best answer to the question, who caused the universe?
In that case, it would be God, right?
Yeah, but God is the most reasonable explanation.
Then what is our explanation for the beginning of God?
Great question.
Great
question. It is idolatry to think God has a beginning. Because the God who has revealed himself through Jesus Christ has revealed himself as eternal. So when I begin to say, well, who created God? It means I don't understand who God has revealed himself to be. Nobody created God because God does not have a beginning. Remember, I didn't say everything has a cause. I said everything that has a beginning has a cause. God is eternal, so God does not have a cause. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and in that case, that's kind of my view for, well, existence itself without a creator. Because God does not have a cause.
Right.
And, well, we exist, so how is it so much more to believe that existence itself does not have a cause?
Because existence cannot come out of non-existence.
But God can.
No, God doesn't come out of anything. See, there's nothing before God that God comes out of, because God is eternal. No beginning, no end. But everything that has a beginning, like this guy and me, there's got to be a cause for him and me, because we definitely have a beginning. And we're getting a little older, so we're not going to be around a lot longer, okay? But we have a beginning, which means there's got to be a cause for this dude and for this dude. Make sense?
Of course.
Good. Well, I thank you for that, okay? All right, now quickly, let's just go through some other pieces of evidence of why we believe God exists.
Of course.
Moral absolutes. I'm convinced to the root of my being that if this guy pulls out a knife and sticks it in your body,
right,
that is absolutely wrong because this man is violating your value.
Of course.
Now, the only way you can have value is if someone created you. Because if nobody created you, you just happened by accident. Which means any value you have is either you gave it to yourself or I gave it to you and some powerful people or your culture did.
Right.
Right? But I would argue that it's still relative. The reason I'm convinced that if he sticks a knife into you, it's evil, is because you have innate value that comes from your creator, who created you for a purpose and who really loves you. Third one is moral absolutes, objective morals pointing to some type of creator. Fourth one is this, your rational mind. Does it come from the non-rational or does it come from the rational? An atheist is someone who says, my rational mind comes from the non-rational. I can't that doesn't make any sense. The rational comes from the rational. The rational does not come from the irrational, which is why, not that I've proven God, but it's evidence that it's more reasonable to say we come from God, not that we come from the non-rational. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I believe so. Define the rational and the non-rational. I don't think I understand where we're coming
from. All right. You have the ability, and hopefully I have the ability, to think rationally. All right? That is why, if I make a rational mistake, you're going to look me in the face and say, Cliff, that makes no sense.
Right.
That's irrational. Okay, my ability to think rationally comes from rational being. It doesn't come from this. This has no ability to rationalize. Neither does that tree.
Of course.
But you and I do. So is it more reasonable to think that our ability to reason comes from a rational being, God, or is it more reasonable to believe that our rational talent comes from the non-rational, just from matter and energy?
This is difficult for me because I just see us on different wavelengths, honestly. Like, we do believe different things, apparently.
Yes, we believe different things.
And
you'll be next.
Just for these pieces of evidence, I see these coming from not a higher power, but from necessity.
From necessity. Well, what does that mean?
Because, say, coming from my point of view, every piece of a human comes from a piece of evidence. Like,
every piece of human is part of necessity and gives someone more chance of survival. So, say, our morale. I see you didn't like that. Say, morality. If he were to stab me, say we're part of the same tribe.
Yeah.
Ancient human.
Yeah.
If he were to stab me while we were out, say, gathering berries, he can't. The tribe has lost a member.
Yeah.
We can't have as many berries now, and he can't carry back as much food. Perhaps now, even then, my parents are going to be mad at him, and the tribe breaks apart. That equals less survival and less humans.
Maybe. Does rape help the human experiment continue?
No.
Yes, it does. Rape can produce babies.
Yes, but...
Survival of the fittest. Why should I not steal his backpack? If survival of the fittest is true, why should I not steal his backpack?
Well, the thing is that you're part of the same tribe.
So what?
We're part of the same society. That doesn't benefit anybody. If you are of different tribes, that isn't necessarily immoral, at least in the human perspective.
No. If what you say is true, then if I want to be part of a gang, and the gang says, in order to be part of our tribe, our gang, you got to go out and murder. Does that make me going out and murder good?
No.
Thank you.
Because that's unnecessary murder of people in the same city, the same tribe.
No. I want to be part of a gang, which is a tribe, a family. Mm-hmm. And in order to be part of a gang, they're telling me I got to go out and murder. My desire to be part of a tribe, the tribe defining good and evil. Is that really objective morality? Is that really make it good because the tribe says it's good?
No.
Thank you. Which is why you and I need to acknowledge God exists, because God's character, which is just, defines murder as being wrong. I don't care what gang or what tribe or what nation, be it Nazi Germany or whatever, says it's good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good. Sir, I need to move on to another person, but I cannot thank you enough for your respectful thinking, and I appreciate it a lot.
And that's how you do it, folks. Right there. That's how you do it. It's beautiful. Cliff is a very class act kind of guy. And I've watched Cliff for a long time. Cliff Netchell. His son is actually part of it as well. Now, I want to read something to you. For all of you out there who have anxiety. Because I know there's a lot of you. Okay? Dear God, I humbly come before you in prayer to ask for your help. I've been struggling with anxiety lately and I need some relief. Please calm my troubled mind and my troubled heart. Grant me a supernatural peace. Allow me to place my mind on the things that are important and that contribute to my joy and my happiness. I place all my worries and my concerns into your hands and allow you to take full control of my life. Strip me from my anxiety, Lord, and my negativity today. I will be still and I'll wait for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope today was awesome for you guys. I know it was great for me. So we'll take you out the same way we brought you in, with some awesome music. I love you guys. And Mike Crispy is going to be gone today, but never fear. Paul Ingracia and Kevin Smith will be filling in for Mike Crispy today in just 2 minutes. God bless you guys, and I'll see you at 11 o'clock. For Live from America. Have a great morning. God bless you.